This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. So in the highly subjective, we don't know who puts these together. Do we really care? Yeah, we do, because it's on the internet. Power rankings?
The power rankings that I never care about until I look at it and I feel a righteous indignation
right
at how my team's been screwed over.
I was a little surprised. I thought the Texans would get slapped around pretty good in these. I'm a real nerd when it comes to this stuff. There's actually four power rankings I like to go look at.
Okay.
While some people go, these are silly, these are just the opinions of random people putting this stuff together, I go, I know. And these random people really affect my emotional well-being.
No, it's like, have you been on the internet, bro?
Right. So ESPN, NFL.com, The Athletic, and CBS Sports. Those are my go-tos.
CBS Sports is my go-to because they're the ones I trust the least, so I usually get angry the most.
Well, if you go to that one, you'll notice that the Buffalo Bills are like eighth in that one.
Yeah, I saw that one. I went to that one first because I saw that that's
you who had angry.
I saw that that's who had the Texans ranked the lowest.
They have the Texans ranked 12th. Mm-hmm. The ESPN and NFL.com have the Texans ranked 10th, and The Athletic has them ranked 11th. I think most, if not all of these, they only dropped like a spot.
Right. And I think
part of that's
recognition that the Ravens are a really good team that was playing at home that week.
Yeah.
And I think the fact that Deshaun Watson had a bad game, I think for the most part, the general public still believes a lot in Deshaun Watson and knows that whatever issues the Texans offense has, unlike previous seasons or with previous quarterbacks, there's a chance that they'll rebound and feel better. I am particularly angry about this Bills being eighth. Because it says this, Josh Allen had one of his best games. As he improves, so will this team. Look, Josh Allen hasn't really shown any signs of improving.
No.
It's a matter of whether he's lucky enough to hit John Brown or anything in any given week. John Brown is a machine. Yeah. And it's just that John Brown has to sit and wait for an accurate ball to be thrown his way, whether he's going to be a fantasy stud that week or not.
I'm telling you this right now, Texan fans, because especially if they lose this game, you are all of a sudden, make no mistake, you are in the muck of average to slightly below average teams in the AFC. You are in the middle of the Steelers, possibly the Browns. The Browns are 4-6 now. They're only two games back. Yeah.
You're right there with the Eagles.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the NFC. But in the AFC, I'm talking about the playoff picture here for a second. You're in there with the Steelers, and the Raiders are 6-4.
The Panthers? I'm stupid now.
the Titans. I'm going to tell you this right now, Seth.
The Bucks. Yeah. Go ahead.
You're an a-hole. I'm going to tell you this right now. And here's why I'm bringing this up. Because the Bills are 7-3. And on paper, it looks like, okay, well, the Bills sure do look like a team that for sure is going to be the first wild card team because they're not going to catch the Patriots.
Yeah.
But they're 7-3. Boy, the Bills have basically locked in a playoff spot.
The Bills are in the AFC East.
They're in the AFC East, and here's what
they play the Jets and the Dolphins twice.
Here's the rest of their schedule. They have the Broncos at home this weekend,
mm-hmm.
which it's a losable game. Like, the Broncos almost beat the Vikings in Minnesota this
past week.
The Broncos
are doing, they're in fits and starts, they're looking like a Vic Fangio defense. There's also reports that the locker room is out on Vic already.
Okay. Well, whatever the case, they don't play like a team that's out on their head coach. They're a competitive team. Then here's the Buffalo Bills schedule for a four-game stretch. At the Cowboys, home for the Ravens, at the Steelers, at the Patriots.
They'll be found out.
Yeah, and then they close the season against the Jets, and the Jets are playing a little bit better, but they're probably going to be, the Bills are probably going to be on a four-game losing streak. I'm telling you right now, the Bills are going 8-8.
Mm-hmm.
I know they're 7-3 right now. I'm saying, Jonesy Market, I'm saying it right now. The Bills will be 8-8.
7-3 going to 8-8. Oh, that's depressing. In
but it's got to catch up. Their schedule is stunk.
Yeah.
These are the teams they've beaten.
Enough,
the Jets,
right,
the Giants,
right,
the Bengals, the Titans when they were bad.
But they're still
the Dolphins, the Redskins, and the Dolphins.
They still have that wild card element to them between Josh Allen's ability to run and John Brown's deep threat and the fact that they can play defense. I think to have them only win one more game, I feel like you're not allowing enough just for random luck and big strikes.
They've had their random luck.
They'll finish with at least 9 games. Jonesy, mark that down in bold above Chad's paltry prediction.
Make mine in a bigger font.
Put mine in one of those really cool fonts, like the old English ones.
Yeah, diamond encrust the frame around mine.
Hock a loogie on Sean's and rub it in.
That's mean. I was just doing nice things to mine. I wasn't doing bad things to yours.
That's why I'll always win.
Yeah, I know. I know. You've got that evil gene. So what can the Texans actually do to improve in just a 4-day period? Let's hear from Texans head coach Bill O'Brien yesterday, who talked about the corrections that Deshaun Watson can make.
Yeah, I mean, he does a really good job of that. You know, he takes that to heart, you know, whether it's mechanics or a read or, you know, something in protection or in the run game that he can fix, you know, the next week or whatever. He works very hard to correct his own mistakes. And he's, you know, again, like, you know, thinking about him, you know, the last couple of days and talking to him a lot about our game against the Colts, because, you know, one thing about these guys, they're very focused on the Colts. We had a really good day yesterday, and you know, they're really into it today, which is a good sign. You know, he's only – so, you know, the first year played 6 games, was injured, played a full season last year. He's only really into his, what, 3rd season, but really it's 2.5 seasons. I mean, he's got a lot of football left in his career. He's played a lot of football. Thing that he does is he really has a good memory bank, so he can understand what's happened, and he's not a repeat error. He doesn't make the same mistake twice, but he's still seeing things that are new, and so you know, in his career. So I think he does a great job of trying to working hard to correct things, and that's what great players do, and that's what he is.
And I think that's where, when you try to make that progression from second or third year quarterback on into, obviously, the ideal level is where you get to Tom Brady or Peyton Manning or Drew Brees or one of these guys that just can see everything that's going to happen before the snap. He's getting there, but it's completely true what O'Brien's saying is he keeps seeing new wrinkles, and every time he does something good, he's got 16 teams out there in any given season or 10 teams that are they're trying like hell to figure out, okay, how do we take that good thing he did and turn it into a negative? How do we get that read that he made that was really nice and all of a sudden turn it into a trap for him? And it's just a matter of just registering and logging all that stuff and having firsthand experience with it to get to the point where it doesn't happen as much. And as he improves his working relationship with Bill O'Brien, that's something that stacks up over time, too. That is one thing, by the way. When you look at some of these quarterbacks that have dealt with multiple different coordinators, Marcus Mariota, for instance, you lose when you're with the same coordinator for 5, 6, 7 years. You guys have like a shared common history, and there's a shorthand in the communication. Bill O'Brien and Deshaun Watson can go back over the last 3 years, and at any given moment on the sidelines, Bill or Tim Kelly, because he's been here the whole time too, can be like, hey, you remember the Colts game from 2 years ago, what they were showing us? You know, and then 3 years from now, when they face the Ravens again, they'll be able to say, hey, remember what happened in 2019? Let's do this or that. And it should build over time. So that's why I'm hesitant to even start talking about Bill O'Brien hot seat talk because they are building on that. I think the one thing with Deshaun at times this season where he can improve is on the pass protection side of things. There were times in that game on Sunday where it felt like things were out of sync and perhaps misidentified before the snap, and you can never say for sure if that's the quarterback or the center or individual offensive lineman, but the entire operation looked a little bit more like it did last year or early in the season this year. So whatever the Ravens were doing to disguise or cloak their look, Deshaun's got to figure that out. And I would imagine, just like O'Brien said, he's shown when he has a really, really bad outing, whatever the issue is, he tends to fix it almost immediately once he's identified it. So I feel good about them fixing that part of it.
O'Brien was asked about something yesterday that is me, just as a non-former player and as a fan, as somebody who observes the game and sees how little time players get with pads on in training camp and during the season nowadays. O'Brien was asked, How do you improve tackling at this point in the year?
Yeah, we all work under the same rules, you know, relative to, you know, if you go back to the spring where you're really in T-shirts and shorts, you really can't make any, you can't make a lot of judgments in T-shirts and shorts. So that's a teaching camp. If you're making judgments before pads go on, you really can't. You can't practice tackling. You get to training camp where you can practice tackling. But then when you get into the beginning of the season, that's an extension sometimes of training camp because you really haven't done a lot of live tackling preseason games, but how much do certain guys play and all those different things. So I think that our tackling, we work drills in practice. We work drills every single day in practice, but I think that the tackling has gotten better. I think it took a step back against Baltimore, and it's got to be better on Thursday night. We've been tackling all right. We didn't tackle well overall as a defense against the Ravens, and we've got to tackle better on Thursday night.
And it's interesting, and this might be an unpopular opinion, because ever since football was invented, people have been claiming that tackling was better back when they played it. You know, in 1910, they were talking about how much better they were at tackling in 1890.
Yes.
So nobody ever wants to believe that tackling actually improves. I actually feel that league-wide, tackling has improved since they enacted the practice rules, because now it used to be coaches would coach tackling by saying, like, thud him up and stuff like that. Now, without pads on, they actually have to think about tackling technique. A lot of teams have adopted rugby-style tackling because, hey, what can you do in rugby? You practice tackling with no pads on.
Right.
So there are things that you can do, and I think that an emphasis on it and focusing on it as a problem is another little thing that they'll work on a little bit extra this week. And it was sloppy last week. It's been sloppier this year in the secondary than I'm accustomed to seeing from the Texans. It is one of those areas you can find an edge as the season goes along, because a lot of teams get lazy with it.
Yeah.
It being reemphasized on Sunday in an embarrassing fashion makes me feel like it's going to be a lot better on Thursday night.
What O'Brien did in that cut, Seth, is just torpedoed 3 months worth of sports talk radio from May through July, where we come on the air and we make several hot takes about how guys look in shorts and t-shirts.
Right.
Matt Khalil felt like he kept his job for an extra month because of how he looked in shorts and a t-shirt. Look how he's moving. Huh?
He's not limping.
Yeah. So don't say that, Bill. We're going to have to come up with other topics now in the summertime other than how guys look at OTAs and minicamp.
Did you have a portion where you were optimistic about Matt Khalil?
When they signed him, I was slightly optimistic that he was going to be better than what they had.
Yeah.
And I was never optimistic that he was going to be the Matt Khalil that everybody thought he was going to be when he got drafted.
Yeah.
Or that Carolina thought he would be when they gave him millions of dollars, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'm a generally optimistic person. And I'm thinking, okay, well, it's not as bad as Julian Davenport.
I could tell. I've been through so many surgeries. I could tell when he was moving around with no pads on. Even before they started competing, I was like, "This guy's not right."
No, to be clear, my optimism ended the second I saw him in a jersey. I'm talking about when they brought him in,
when he was a concept.
He actually passed a physical when he was a concept.
Yeah.
I was optimistic because I was the guy sitting on a desert island who hadn't eaten in a month, and you're like, hey, "Here's a saltine cracker." I'm like, "This is amazing.
I know his name.
Yeah, this is great. Exactly. I've heard of this guy."
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.